Call to order this regular assembly meeting of the city and borough of Wrangell, Alaska on September 22nd, 2015 at 7 p.m. Pledge of allegiance this evening will be led by Assembly Member David Powell, after which if you remain standing for the invocation by Clay Hammer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Bow our heads. Lord, we just want to thank you tonight for the contribution that everybody at this table is making, taking the time out from their busy lives, Lord, to attend to the affairs of this community. Lord, we know that there are some very trying times ahead of us as the state deals with their current budget woes and so forth, Lord. And we just pray that you bless this group here with the wisdom necessary to carry us through in a meaningful way for the rest of the community and help see us through these troubling times, Lord. We just ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have no ceremonial matters this evening, so roll call, please.
Assembly Members Blake.
Here.
Prasanka.
Here.
Rooney. Decker.
Here.
Powell.
Here.
Mitchell. And Mayor Jack.
Here. Amendments to the agenda. Does anyone have any? Yes.
I'd like to put under new business a discussion of the Rainforest Ferry.
The what?
The Rainforest Ferry. Just a quick discussion on that.
Under new business.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then that'll be 13E. Conflict of interest. Does anyone have a conflict of interest on any item on the agenda? Consent agenda.
I move to approve those agenda items listed under the consent agenda and those marked with an asterisk, 6A, 7A, 7B, 7C, and 7D.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly Members Powell.
Yes.
Blake.
Yes.
Prasanka.
Yes.
Decker.
Yes.
And Mayor Jack.
Yes. Borough Manager's report.
Other than my written report, Mike Allen has completed his project out there and opened up that for firewood. Kim had put that in the paper so people can go out there and start blazing away and hopefully get some wood out there. And although we didn't advertise it, we did talk to Mental Health, and they had Mike actually volunteer to put in a culvert, the one he left in, and another one he put in down the Mental Health Road at the request of Mental Health, so that people can access. There's also a big pile of wood that they left, so people can access anything that's on the ground. Mm-hmm. So, and secondly, because Carol has done the majority of work on this, I'd like her to announce some good news. So she wants to come up here, and she actually ran down the hall when she heard this today and high-fived me. So.
Okay, so you all know we several years ago we got a technical assistance grant from EPA to try to do some assessment at the Wrangell junkyard to get it cleaned up. The assessment came in and said we had very high levels of lead contamination, and EPA jumped on it, was trying to get some funds, and then the accident in Colorado happened and those funds were diverted and we were told it wasn't going to happen. Sally Schlichting and Bruce Wanter with DEC, they're two staffers that we've been working with for years on this property, called today, very excited, to basically say, Commissioner Larry Hartig with DEC of DEC has basically said that they're going to be spending $3.9 million from the response account of the Oil and Hazardous Substance Release Prevention and Response Fund to perform the emergency cleanup of the junkyard. DEC is going to be doing the whole project. They're going to be starting on it immediately and trying to get a lot of work done now. So it's going to happen.
And it will be cleaned up to a residential standard.
Well, great. That's even better.
And thank you for all your hard work on that.
Yeah, absolutely, Carol.
So residential standard, then we can sell it off.
$5 million piece of property?
And anything we sell, we basically have to, well, we'll get it on the tax roll, but anything we make off it, we have to give to them. So.
Right. Well, that's much better than it is right now.
Oh, yeah, way better. So, no, awesome. Very good.
That's great.
Yeah. Anybody have any questions or comments on Borough Manager's report?
Jeff, are we posting not to take shellfish down there in front of it? I mean, high levels of lead coming back and so on. What are we doing to kind of mitigate public?
The testing that was done in the tidelands did not show the high levels. Now, I mean, there's a caution that needs to be taken probably, but none of the testing came back with hazardous to the health.
Okay, great. Thank you.
What?
Yeah.
One last thing is I'm leaving town tomorrow and I'll be back in a week. But Kim has my cell phone number. Anybody can call. It's not, I don't care. I talk to people in the office all the time. So that's about it.
Okay. Thank you. Borough Clerk's file.
Other than what's on my report, we did have a letter of intent to file as a write-in candidate for one of the assembly seats from Christy Jameson. And but other than that, there's nothing else to report.
I have a question, yes. Mr. Mayor. How is the, from your perspective, how are things going with your contractors list? Is it smooth?
You know what? I think we've had some bumps, and I think a lot of it is just trying to get used to a system, but I think it's going to be okay. I think it's going to, as long as we start getting some contractors submitting their paperwork, we have six right now. So, but I think we have a pretty good system right now, and I guess we've already had two calls from it, so we've had two work orders, and yeah, worked out good.
I think the plan is that we will try to get through this however we can for about 6 months, and then we'll kind of evaluate what's working and what's not, if there's any issues or not. If we need to change the policy at that point, we'll come back to the assembly and said, you know, this just isn't working. We'd like to change this little part, or we found out that we need to do something more here to more clarify this or clarify that or whatever. So I think we're just taking notes and making decisions as we go to make it work, to get work done. And then, like I said, after probably about 6 months, we will, once we get some data about what the problems is, what department heads' complaints are, what contractors' complaints are, what staff's complaints are here that's running it, we'll try to keep fine-tuning it and make it as simple as possible, but to make sure everybody is, I think part of it is just people getting used to it too, so hopefully we'll get through it. But we do encourage contractors to sign up, because there's city has things that we do, and currently, unless your name's on the list, we can't give it to you. So we encourage everybody to get their information in, and hopefully most of the stuff they would need to supply to us, they should have anyway. So it shouldn't be a big deal to them. So.
Nothing further? Thank you. Item 10, Mayor Assembly Reports and Appointments. Does any assembly member have any reports on anything? Yes?
I attended the Southeast Conference last week for the city. And so I just wanted to kind of go over some of the highlights of what happened. Pretty packed agenda. As you know, Carl Rushmore serves on the board of Southeast Conference. So she was there as well. But I asked Kim to print out this document called Southeast Alaska by the Numbers. And it's kind of a economic snapshot of all the different industries in Southeast Alaska, some major components of things like population and in the different communities and overall, and then a trend compared to from year 2010 to 2013 and 2014. I think what's notable in this is there's some areas of the economy that have increased, some are flat, and some are decreased, but the outlooks or the projections are a bit more negative going forward. And it's a multiple of things, but one of the drivers is the projected decrease in the state budget. So on the agenda, I wanted to highlight that the Lieutenant Governor was there, and he spoke to the transboundary mining issue. They also had the Assistant Deputy Minister of Energy and Mines from BC there. And I didn't get a chance to give this to Kim yet, but I'll let her make copies of it for everyone. It's called the State of Alaska Transboundary Dialogue White Paper on Transboundary Mines. And it's really, really well done. It's just some very good basic information that I know I didn't have, not all in one place. And so I think you guys will find it interesting. And it's good because we've been starting to talk about this. So it's good for us to have some basic facts. Let's see, there was also a presentation about liquefied natural gas, and they had folks from not only Alaska but BC as well. That was kind of interesting, and I heard today that the governor is going to be calling a special session this fall on the Alaska LNG project, so I don't know exactly what that'll mean, but one of the big issues for Southeast Conference is the marine highway system, and it was the issue that they rallied around and organized the organization around like 60-some years ago. It's again a very important issue, and with the budget situation, basically the message was there are going to be changes to the highway system, and either we drive the changes or the changes get put upon us, and we probably won't like them. So I think Southeast Conference is going to be very proactive in trying to put forward a plan that, you know, they think works to a realistic position of where our budget's going to be. For instance, I can't remember the timeline, but it was some time ago, maybe 20 years ago. The ferry system brought in revenues of about 60% of its budget, and the state subsidized the other 40%. Well, that's down now to about 33% is what is brought in by revenues, and the state subsidizes the rest. And with the state's budget, that's not going to continue. So anyway, they're talking about sort of re-energizing the Marine Transportation Advisory Board, only taking the advisory part out, possibly, so making it more of, there's several different ideas, but looking at more of like the railroad corporation model in Alaska, where it's more of a, more like a business, run more like a business, instead of it being in the Department of Transportation and the state government. So anyway, there's a lot of ideas, and I think that's going to be a main focus for Southeast Conference. There's an economic plan that Southeast Conference is working on for 2020. It's a five-year economic plan. That's kind of in the stages. They have more information on their website about that. And then I think what's really important is Pat Pitney, who is the governor's director of the Office of Management and Budget, OMB, she gave a presentation. It was really quite good. She basically used all the information that's currently exists on the governor's website about the fiscal situation, and she stepped everyone in the room through this model that they've created. And it's a model that shows you where the budget's at right now, what are the different components of it, both income and, you know, outgoing, so costs. And so it allows you to plug and chug different numbers in the different components and for you to figure out how to solve the budget. And it's very graphic, it's got colors, you know, everything's red until you balance the budget, then it turns green, you know. And I mean, it's a realistic tool that average people can use to understand how much, if we were to implement an income tax, what would that look like? How close would that come to solving the budget? What about the permanent fund dividend? What about sales taxes? What about changing oil taxes? I mean, what about cutting the budget? You know, and you can play with all those different things. I think Carol talked with Pat about either Pat or someone from her office coming down and giving a presentation in Wrangell. Representative Dan Ortiz was also interested in working together on that and him coming. And so he can hear people's concerns while they're going through this budget presentation. So hopefully we'll get that together this fall before the legislative session. And the governor's supposed to be rolling out his idea of a plan by November. So he wants to give the legislature a couple of months to kind of discuss it before they head into session. And she talked about it would be a phased approach, a three-year approach. Make some changes this year, some changes the next year, some changes his last year in office. So let's see here. Yeah, I guess that's it. I'll get the Trans-Bounty paper to you guys.
Thank you. Anyone have any comments? Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, the next item 10B, appointment to fill a vacancy on the Planning and Zoning Commission. There were still no letters of interest received for this vacancy. We will continue to advertise for that.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I see where we're having trouble even coming up to the quorum for planning and zoning. Is there any other alternatives available to us to have a borough assembly member sit in to meet quorum? Like, what are our other options there? Because this has been ongoing for a while. I think we need to be somewhat proactive and we need to create something to do that.
If an assembly member sits in, it would not count as a quorum unless they're appointed to that quorum.
Oh.
You're certainly welcome to sit in there.
No, I guess my question is there any way that I just worry that we're holding up progress in our community?
If you're willing to serve on the board,
I move no points to you for that.
Not really what I was saying.
Sometimes it
doesn't open up. I know it. I think we should appoint all of the borough assembly people, and then if somebody is short, we can go in and help out.
I think you get too much.
I'm worried that we're running into trouble finding people to sit on that, and it's been a while now that we've had this problem. And if you know nobody individually wants to step up, I'm worried that we're having people having to wait because we can't get a quorum.
Let's wait till after the election to make any decision on that. I think it might, if the proposal about the financial disclosure passes, that might make a whole lot of difference in people's willingness to serve on the boards.
That's a good point.
Anything further? Okay, the item 11, persons to be heard. This is an opportunity for any member of the audience to speak on an item that is on the agenda. This is the only time you have the opportunity to speak on these items unless a member of the assembly specifically asks a person to speak on a specific question regarding an item that's on the agenda. And we have no persons to be heard. Item 12, unfinished business. Proposed ordinance number 908. An ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 5.04.350 of chapter 5.04, property tax of the Wrangell Municipal Code, to amend a due date for payment on, of property taxes beginning with the 2016 assessment year. This is a first reading.
Move to approve the first reading of ordinance number 908 and move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held on October 13, 2015.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Roll vote, please.
Assembly members Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. New business, item 13A, approval of a request to vacate a storage easement on Lot 3, Block A, Short Yard Subdivision, Zone Waterfront Development, requested by Charles Jenkins Jr., owned by Christine Jenkins.
Move to approve a request to vacate storage easements on Lot 3, Block A, Short Yard Subdivision, Zone Waterfront Development, requested by Charles Jenkins Jr., owned by Christina Jenkins.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? I just had one question on the looks of it. That they own two lots there, right? Lot A and Lot B. Am I correct on that?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, this is in between the two lots.
Can I?
Yes, please.
Carol Rushmore, 6 miles above Zamobia. The storage easement was put in when that was where the shoreline was before we filled in all that property. So the storage easement was put in then. We filled, we created Silvernail Work Road, we sold those lots on the Front Street side of Silvernail Work Road, but that easement remained. So he's now coming back into actually, there are three lots, and he is subdividing into those two lots where you have a Front Street lot and a lot fronting on Silvernail Work Road. So currently the lots, four. There's three on Front Street and one on Silvernail, and they're being carved into two lots or conformed into two lots. So what you're seeing is the proposed subdivision. But we had to have your approval for the vacation prior to the approval of the subdivision.
So this city is not going to be using this for anything in the future.
He owns the lot.
I'm just asking these questions.
Right. Correct. No, he owns the lot where the easement is now. That was sold, or Christine Jenkins, that was sold several years ago. And now it's just a formality to remove the easement so that a structure could be built in that location.
Thank you. Anything further?
Assembly members Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell? Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13B, approval of draft RFP for the land development of the former Wrangell Institute property.
Make a motion to approve the draft of the RFP for the land development of the former Wrangell Institute property.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Yes.
I am glad to see this happening, Carol. Thank you. The Economic Development Committee has been working on this for a while. And for the public's information, this property has gone out under a land prospectus in the past to look for any potential development ideas that were out there, and we got zip. I mean, we got absolutely nothing in return. We were really hopeful that, you know, someone would come back with something. So we've been scratching our heads in the committee about what to do with the property. There have been, you know, people have kicked around ideas, but again, there's been no group or individual come forward with the means to implement those ideas. So one of the issues that we've talked about also is if some of our development plans even just continue on the slow growth that Wrangell has been moving down, residential property will begin to be a bottleneck. And, you know, in communities like Juneau, you've seen residential property be such a bottleneck that their property values are very high, and it's really a detriment to bring more people to their community. So so we thought that, you know, residential property might be a good thing for this piece of property. We received some money from the state to look at how to develop this. This RFP, I think, does a good job of laying out what we'd like to see as far as information back from someone on how we could possibly develop it. Carol asked a couple of questions in her memo at the beginning of the RFP, and the very first one is, what would we name this effort? She's got Shoemaker Bay Master Plan and Subdivision. I wanted to throw this idea out that we stick with the Wrangell Institute name for now. So Wrangell Institute, Master Plan and Subdivision. And then in the longer term, look to get some input from the Wrangell Cooperative Association and maybe others in the community about what we really want to name that in the long term. You know, there's a history of that site, and I think it's a good thing to incorporate that history of the site. So that's one thing that I would recommend. Let's see here. I think there were a couple other places that I talked with Carol about adding. She mentions, you know, commercial, some possibilities, like light commercial possibilities, like on that lower part. And so I think that needs to be included as well. Yeah, I think that's all my comments.
Yes. This question is actually for Carol. There's an old dump site on there, too. Has that ever been looked into?
Well, I know one of them. I know one has anyway. When the site was there is a recorded site. Yes, a site that would have to be stayed away, and that would be part of sort of the planning process. When the asbestos and contaminated soils was cleaned up, there was a dump site that has been recorded. It's to the south end of the property. So I don't know if that's the same one you're talking about, but yes, there's one that's recorded anyway.
Okay. Well, I just know that when you start to develop that, when I was a kid, we used to be out there, and they had a dump actually basically like the city dump. I mean, there were bears there. There was, I mean, it was just...
Is it near the south end of the fence?
Actually, if I remember right, it was right behind the main complex, back on the very back end of the property.
Okay, well, actually, that's good to know, because then I can add in more about sort of the environmental issues. Can put something into that.
Yeah, I mean, I was quite young then, but I'm sure there was other people in town that would know exactly where that dump was. I know there was a road going to it. I mean, there was actual road back there. That's where they dumped their stuff. They never went to the city dump.
Okay.
I just thought.
Yeah, so I don't know if what's recorded is the same one you're talking about.
Okay.
This is for Carol also, I guess. Are we leaning towards the city and borough as being the developer on
That's
this?
How the RFP is written at this point in time, is that we would be work with a contractor on the subdivision design, yes, and then asking for, you know, assistance in phasing, financing, you know, different ways that we could afford it.
Okay.
Any other questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Pasanka?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13D, approval of a revision to the Wrangell Medical Center personnel policy.
Missed C.
C.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Could we move C till after the executive session? Is that?
You
Yeah, that probably should have been done.
I know, and I that was my fault. Agenda. I forgot to.
Yeah, unless there's objection from any of the assembly members, we'll do so.
Okay, so we're on to D.
Okay, approval of a revision to the Wrangell Medical Center personnel policy.
Move to approve the change to the Wrangell Medical Center personnel policy manual in the section it's called recruitment.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Blake?
Yes.
Persaka?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13E, discussion of Rainforest Ferry. Go ahead.
Okay, so I've been contacted by three people about the Rainforest Ferry. The new ferry from Kaufman Cove has been coming to Wrangell and Banana Point in Kaufman Cove. At Southeast Conference, one of the folks that sits on the I can't remember what they're called, authority or whatever, that basically runs the ferry, the Kaufman Cove City Administrator, and then the person that's managing the ferry system, they all talked to me about they're having problems, you know, docking in Wrangell, and folks in Wrangell, you know, some of the city staff is aware of it. And in fact, the city staff tried to warn them of some of the problems they would have. That being what it is, I don't think that they did their due diligence. However, there's still a problem that, you know, I think the ferry could be a good thing, and it would be good for us to try to look into it and see if there's anything we can do about that. Jeff has already, he's told us that he's already called the state regarding the ramp in Heritage Harbor, and they have declined to allow us to use it because it's supposed to be for sport fishermen. And I basically, with this discussion, I would like to formally ask the Port Commission to address the issue and see if they can come up with some constructive ideas. I mean, that's their department, and I think that they're best suited to help solve the problem. But, you know, in a proactive way, knowing that some of these people are getting groceries from town and other things. So Wrangell's probably best suited to actually benefit economically from this ferry. So it'd be nice to see us try to work out a solution.
I guess I'm just curious what the option would be. Heritage Harbor sounds like it was a definite no from the state, and they can't get into Shoemaker. I mean, and it sounds like they're not happy with Inner Harbor ramp, and it's not all tied. I just don't know what else there is out there.
Didn't they submit a letter asking consent to use the barge dock, but they wanted priority over the barge, and they wanted to do it for free?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I can't remember exactly how that went, but I think there was some kind of a problem, or the barge or their rig, one of the two would have to be retrofitted.
Modified.
I think the barge is made to lay on the surface of whatever it's going on to. So when those big barges comes, it lays on the barge, not the other way around. And so the concern or problem is if it's the other way around, they drive off, there isn't anything to support. They've got that thing that basically just supports the ramp, but if there's a bunch of weight on it, it may cause a problem. And originally, of course, they had Shoemaker Bay because it was the ramp there is pretty much an old tide show. The problem is that Greg, I kept trying to get the guy in here to have the captain come in to actually look at it, because he said, I don't think it's going to work. And the administrative guy, oh yeah, it'll be fine, and never really did it. So then it didn't work, and the captain said, this is never going to work because there's just not enough room there. And at high tide, when there's more room, they stick up, and that big side of that is like a big sail. So if you have wind blowing when they're up, then it catches the wind. And when it's low tide, when you're below the wind, then it's narrower, and they can't get in there. So, and of course, they've been using the inner harbor, which is fine. But the problem there is it's a tidal show. And so, you know, that when the tide is wrong and they're on their schedule, it doesn't work. And we got a grant, I think, of about $800,000 to build the ramp from the Fish and Game Sport Division at Heritage Harbor. And so one of the provisions in there is that, you know, it's for sport and recreational. And I talked to the guy and sent him an email and kind of sent him the schedule and stuff, and they said they would take a look at it. But they just felt that if you're in there for an hour here and an hour there, if people wanted to use it and they got any complaints at all, they were concerned it was just too long a period of time. And he said that, you know, the money really was set aside for this purpose, and you know, and then the problem of the commercial use when others have been kind of denied that. So anyway, it's but you know, maybe there's something where they can use it. I think Julie had talked today, maybe if they would allow it just when it's a tide problem, and when the tide was fine, it was high tide at noon when they come in, they would have to use the, you know, the power plant ramp, and just those periods of time when maybe the tide was, so it wouldn't be as, you know, as many times into Heritage Harbor. So I don't know if they would allow that, but they just seem pretty resistant to that. But and I'm not sure if, I just can't think of any other.
What about the cement plant around the back side? I know they run a barge there, and then they grab off the barge and get gravel, sand and gravel. I mean, it would be, yeah.
It'd be a thought.
Do you have any comment on that, Clay?
Yeah. Say, Howard, 690 Evergreen. Yeah, I've had a few conversations with the gentleman, and I basically shared Julie's concerns about it and the fact that, you know, of the three communities, I think that we stand to gain the most out of having this thing succeed. But the problems, there's a lot of different problems with trying to get cars on and off that ferry. And one of them is that the most ideal ramp would be something that would be an actually paved style ramp. Now, just a regular boat launch ramp is that would work, but they had some real concerns about any kind of gravel ones or anything like that, getting traction in order to go in and out.
Has anybody looked at the one that they used to pull planes out at the airport?
They have. They have. And it sounds like that one would take quite a substantial bit of rework to get that one redone again. He had looked into it, and there was a price tag associated with it, and I don't recall what that was, but it was pretty big money. Another potential option might be to simply do a little bit of dredging in front of the one in front of the powerhouse. That might free it up and allow a little bit more flexibility in where the tide goes, where the tide's concerned. But it is kind of a bottleneck, and access is a little bit of an issue there. So, you know, if they're trying to come and go in stage vehicles and stuff like that, there's not really a lot of territory to deal with there. At one point I looked into, I know that there's a really nice ramp off the end of the runway around the Highfield there, and I thought, golly, if we could get access to that, that'd be fantastic. But I talked to Willie about it, and it sounded like if Willie were to approve it, he'd get in all kinds of trouble for it, so he wasn't too keen on that, but not that we couldn't maybe get some sort of a conditional permission from somebody a little bit further up the chain, maybe. Yeah. It's a really nice ramp, and it's a really good spot for it. So anyway, I think there may be some potential there, but we might have to go a little bit further up the chain for that one.
I'm not sure exactly on the economic layout of this ferry, but I would sure hate for us to be putting out a lot of money to dredge or start to do major capital improvements for this, and I don't know if they're willing to put out the money. But I did notice in the letter there was a little bit of a crack in the door with the sport fishing guys, at the very end. They slammed it pretty tight, but I saw a little bit of light there, and I wonder if it wouldn't be worthwhile asking them if, you know, to a maximum number of times, for a maximum amount of time, when the tides aren't right for the Inner Harvey, the power plant dock, could we access it then? And maybe they would be willing to go with that.
One other thing Greg had told me was that there are some times that it comes in here where there aren't a vehicle exchange, and those times, if it's low tide and they can't get in the power plant, they've been pulling in to, I don't know if it's airplane flows, yes, or, and they, and passengers still can do their thing, walk-ons, and so that's still available. So if there isn't vehicles, then it isn't, they don't have to go there anyway. So it's only when they have vehicle traffic that, so part of the time they don't have any vehicles getting on or off, it's just people. So
my understanding was that he was going to try and make one of these next assembly meetings to come and talk about it a little bit. It sounds like it's been a long time since he made any kind of a presentation to this community as far as what they had planned and what they were going to offer and that kind of thing. And my understanding that he was going to try and show up at this meeting or the next and put on some sort of a presentation and just basically try and bring everybody up to speed with what was happening and what they were doing and some of the obstacles that they were trying to overcome. So I was kind of hoping that he might be here for this one or the next meeting and just kind of explain things from his perspective a little bit. But anyway, yeah, I don't know how deep their pockets are. Maybe they have the funding to do some of that dredge work out in front of the, but I don't know.
I think one of the, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I think that we can get creative. I don't think we should worry about, you know, if we have to raise things up the ladder, that's not an issue. But I think in order to raise things up the ladder and stuff, we got to figure out what the community thinks. And I think the Port Commission is best suited to look at it, come up with the top few options, and then staff can get to work on, you know, on aggressively pursuing those options. But that's, I think, the right approach, because we need to be behind whatever the ask is if we have to raise it up the ladder or whatever. And I don't think that we should put out a bunch of money on anything, but they do have a little bit of money, and they also, I mean, they're having more hurdles than just this issue. I think the authority that oversees them was kind of doing a hands-off approach and kind of trusting the manager, and it sounds like they've got their eyes opened and they're more actively engaged right now. So I think that's a good thing too.
What I was going to say is I think it's important that they're consistent with whatever ramp that they're using. I know some people that have already ridden on it, and there was a lot of confusion as to where it was coming in. Sure. The ferry didn't contact them ahead of time. They understood it was coming into the Inner Harbor ramp there, and was sitting there waiting, and the next thing you know, it's coming in down at Heritage, and then it's going someplace else, and it was just really tough for them to figure out. So whatever they do, I think they need to be consistent. It sounds like the airport ramp out there would probably be their best option if we can pass it up and get approval.
Oh, I agree with Julie. You know, this is basically in the Port Commission realm. it's a port issue, and I think that's the best place to start with all of these things. We'll pass the buck on you.
That's fair.
Any further discussion on it? Okay. Item 14 is attorney's file. You have a summary of that that has been provided to assembly members. Our next item is number 15, executive session. We will recess into executive session for the options for the possible purchase of the real site property.
I'd like to ask that we have Carol Rushmore into the executive session to help explain some of the information.
Yes. Yes, we can do that.
I move to proceed. Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Can I make a motion?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I move pursuant to AS 44.16.310C1 that we recess into executive session to discuss matters of the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the public entity, specifically to discuss the options of for the possible purchase of the mill site property by the City and Borough of Wrangell.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Is there anyone else that we might need to have in there with us at this time? Well, of course, we're a manager. Okay.
Just one vote, please. I think once we get in there, there could be some questions that we could have of Clay, but I don't. We may or may not have. So we want to hang around for just a little bit, and if we need him, we can bring him in there at that point.
You got to bring candy.
We're not paying you.
One vote, please.
Assembly
members
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Mayor
Smith? Yes. We will recess into executive session at 7:46 p.m. Reconvene this assembly meeting at 8:25 p.m.
Ready?
Do we have a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to go ahead and proceed with an RFP for the possible purchase of the Mill Creek property.
Feasibility study.
Feasibility study. Who said RFP?
I'll second it.
Then move and second.
Not RFP for the purchase.
Any discussion? Everybody knows what the motion was?
Can we have it repeated?
Did you? Was it off of the sheet?
No.
Can you repeat it?
An RFP for a feasibility study for the mill property.
Okay.
Everybody, okay. Any discussion on that? Full vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Krasanka?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Smith?
Yes. No further business. We will adjourn at 8:26 p.m.